Thank you so much for coming out on a Thursday evening. And we've come to celebrate the love of God, really. And it struck me this week that it's funny, well, not funny odd, not funny ha-ha, funny odd that the celebration in the year is Valentine's Day, isn't it? To celebrate love, it's Valentine's Day. Which origins are when Bishop Valentine, in days of yore, swap places with a prisoner who was condemned to death, who was a fellow Christian, so that he would be executed instead of, and they smuggled, changed clothes, and he went in and the prisoner went out disguised as Bishop Valentine. At least that's the legend. It probably has a factual base to it. So the whole world almost celebrates love for the death of one person for another person. But actually, Good Friday is the death of one person who, the Son of God and part of the Godhead of God, who died for all. And it sort of got it wrong, isn't it? So Good Friday is a love festival. It's the supreme love of God for us. And I know it's Maundy Thursday, the day before Thursday. Before Friday. I know it is. But when you're sort of planning services for Easter, you start off with Palm Sunday, which we did Sunday. And the next time around is Easter Sunday, which is the resurrection. And a third of the whole gospel, virtually in every gospel, is actually this one week in time that's recorded there. And in a seasonal way, obviously it can be visited at any time, but in a seasonal way, that isn't looked at, it isn't celebrated, it isn't learned from that much in that one week. And our tradition in this church has been for quite a long time, Helen isn't here to tell me how long, but Pat probably can, has been to not have a Good Friday communion, but to have a Maundy Thursday communion. But it struck me that it would be good to have a time where we focus on Good Friday. So it's, whilst it's Maundy Thursday, we're going to take the main focus of it as Good Friday. Because if when you read the text, the action just flows through, doesn't it? So Jesus is arrested on Maundy Thursday, probably. He's arrested late at night. You know, whether it was, I can't remember if we're told whether it was before midnight or after midnight. He was interrogated and so on through the night, tortured in the morning by being whipped with lead and cat o' nine tails type whips. Crucified through the day to die before Sunday's death. There's all one action, really. But it's a story of God's love, because Jesus willingly went through that, willingly, not without suffering, not without inner agony as well as physical agony. But willingly, in the sense that he chose to be obedient to the Father out of love for us and love for his Father. So that's a great thing, isn't it? It's something which, whilst is terribly serious, is also a joy-filled thing. It's that thing that the deepest emotions that humanity can have merges the big emotional thing. So we laugh at funerals. We're not laughing at death, are we? We're laughing at times in funerals because we're fully emotionally engaged in what is happening, and it falls upon all our emotions at that time. So we're going to sing, just to open up. And are you playing? How deep the Father's love for us.
Yes.
No, I think Nick's got a video for the next. Where's Nick? Oh, he's back there. Have you got a video for the next one?
Yeah.
That's right. So we're going to sing together. Just, we can stay seated to sing. We can stand and sing if you wish, but I'm going to stay seated. I wonder if you have got a Bible to hand, if you'll turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. If you haven't got one, it's fine just to listen. So this is a family meal we've gathered for today, and so we're going to join in as a family. So I wonder if what we can simply do is we're going to read the passage which records the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which are verses 32 to 55. And I wonder if we could do it a little bit section by section, just going round. People who are happy to read, so without picking on it. So if I start with Barry, Liz can't read because she can't see. We're probably not going to get to Liz, but I mean, there's some long paragraphs. If you're going to cut a long paragraph in half and just nudge the next person. If you don't want to read, if you're uncomfortable reading, just jump it on. That's fine. There's no problem with that. You know, after Heather, it could jump back to Pat or Linda, and then back into the third. So, Barry, when you're ready, we're starting with verse 27.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. To his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on. Then
I did, because I was double reading the chapter there on that. It was entirely my fault. It's entirely.
I didn't understand why we weren't reading the same tune.
No. That's all my fault. I do apologise, but it's still the story, so we'll crack on with the story. Thank you.
Thank you.
is very poignant, isn't it? That the cat is simply told by Matthew. I'm really impressed with just how he just records it in such straightforward language that anyone can understand what he says. So really, I just thought at this time, what thoughts did you have? People could offer what thoughts they have as they read that passage. What does it stir up in their mind as they read it? Just a few ideas to share with you. You all know each other quite well. I shouldn't be too worried about sharing. Some of the women are named, aren't they? Well, at least some of the women are named. Yeah, Matthew is the only one who mentions it in his account. And I think part of the reason, and this isn't just my thoughts, it's the background reading about this, but part of the reason is that Matthew wants to make clear how supernaturally dramatic the whole thing is. It's not within normal, I'm mentioning this on Sunday, it's not within the normal compass of life. This is something quite extraordinary. So Matthew later talks about an earthquake at the time of the resurrection taking place there. So he emphasizes, actually, words like a divine major interference, as it were, with normality taking place in a way that others who record it don't. So he has a particular audience in mind as he's writing there. And they need the reassurance, I think, and we can take the same reassurance, of how much God is in this. So I don't know if that's helpful, Gwen. Reasonable to say the spiritual suffering of the crucifixion was even greater ties in, Mark, very closely with John's account of his prayer in Gethsemane, where he prays those famous words, "Not my will, but yours, to the Father. If it could pass from me, so this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but yours." What an amazing example of obedience for us in our faith. They certainly do that.
Have you given the sign of serving as the important carrying cross to yourself an honour? Or is it an inconvenience? Is it probably
done? I think it's not tied down hard in Scripture. But I think the understanding from very early times was he became a Christian. And he was... Cyrene is the north coast of Africa. So if you go across Egypt, go around the top of it, it's about halfway across. I guess it's in Libya now, where Cyrene is. And it's a very early indication of the gospel going into the church there. And why would his name be known if he wasn't known to the Christians after the crucifixion? You know, he would have stayed known. He wasn't like a stranger dragged out the crowd and then forgotten about. How on earth do they know his name? So they're pretty confident that if he wasn't a follower of Jesus already, he became a follower of Jesus following that. So probably the first black convert, if you like, known black convert in history, was actually at Jesus' crucifixion. An indication of how the gospel is worldwide. I'm going to turn us now to Hebrews. So those are our thoughts, precious thoughts. Yeah, go. We went to Auckland Cathedral on our little trip to New Zealand, and at Auckland Cathedral they built very recently a new chapel on the back of the cathedral. I took pictures of it, named after the first Bishop of Auckland, who went around the whole of New Zealand setting up churches. Selwyn, his name was. It's called the Selwyn. And what struck me about it most, it was almost an entirely glass chapel. The walls were completely glass, around three walls, and the back wall was the sort of solid wall of the cathedral, was built onto the back of the cathedral, I think in 2006, so it's been here. And then it had an almost glass roof. It had a bit of a solid bit. So it was a very lit room, that natural light. But the cross was iron or steel, and it was outside the chapel, really big, the whole height of the chapel, but outside the chapel. So you looked out of the chapel to the cross in the exposed air and so on, the weather. And what struck me was Jesus was crucified outside the city. And it struck me, and so rejected completely, pushed out of the city, pushed away from the temple, pushed away from the people, treated, basically crucified on a rubbish heap, really. And it struck me how that symbolized what Jesus went through by being put outside. See, I don't think I've seen a church built to have the cross outside like that before. But to me, it was very powerful symbolism. Yeah. Right, I'm going to turn us to Hebrews, which provides some thoughts about the crucifixion. So if you could turn to the book of Hebrews, and if you don't know your way of the Bible very easily, so I'm sure whoever's next to you will probably help you find Hebrews. It's right towards the end. And if you go to chapter 10, and I'm going to read the passage. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, so my version might be very slightly different to yours because it's an ESV version, sorry, not the NIV. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, remember we read about the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So reflections on the account of the crucifixion. Here, I'd ask the question, what is it then that we gain through the death of Jesus Christ? And this passage makes clear some precious truths. Not all, but some. Firstly, the equality of access to God. Brothers and sisters. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, we have, through his death, an equality across all believers to come into the presence of God. But Jesus' death created the way for us all to be close to God. So if we feel far off, we feel we don't know God, we can't contact God, God has created the way for us to do so. He has given it us through the death of Jesus. And we may be confident about that. We can trust his promise. So if that is the case, let's not hold back from coming to God. It would be easy to have access and not use it. Simply because God has created that way, we can go, there's the door, I'm not walking through. Or today, I'm not walking through. But since God has done this, let us not hold back from using his access. And if what prevents us at times from coming here is a troubled conscience, that could often hinder our confidence in coming to God. Let's know that God wants to bless us, but also that God sees a pure heart in us because of Jesus' sacrifice. The Bible talks about the blood of Christ covering our sin. So when we trust in Jesus, God doesn't look at all those things that we'd rather he didn't look at. Because he has created in us and blessed us with a pure heart. And on top of that, Jesus is himself representing us to God. That's the work of the high priest. But he all the time is before the Father, praying for us. What an amazing promise. And how easy to simply forget it in the hurly-burly of every day. Nothing of this do we deserve. We sing it, don't we? We just sung that. We don't deserve that. So let us be sure of our hope, because it doesn't rest on our weakness, but on the promise made by Jesus, which is a completely different thing. Let us also, as this passage tells us, be dedicated to each other in love, as well as to those around us, because that's what he is and did for us. We can do this by meeting together, like we are now, as God's family, encouraging each other and longing for the day of Jesus to come, when he returns to gather his people. All of that, all of it, is taken in this tiny little passage in Hebrews, reflecting on the Good Friday. Now it's time to, we've done all of this and we haven't prayed at all, but it's time, I think, to, you know, there's one or two things happening in our fellowship, particularly Doreen, I think, at the moment. Lindy, have you spoken to Doreen today?
Yes, she stayed last night.
Yes. Always encouraging.
No, but it has quite been, you know.
Of course it has.
And it's weakened her as well. She's quite friendly. And she's waiting, you know, to see the target in a better heart, you know.
Yeah,
to some extent, Mum last week, she was all right, so hopefully she will take that offer up and not be taking that on. It has shifted her down.
So, out of love, we should, within our fellowship, we would pray for those needs. Does anyone have anything else that anyone has got to? So, I wonder if we just two or three people would be kind enough to pray, including praying for Doreen, and to perhaps pray inspired by those passages of the scripture that we've read, and to give thanks and to praise God for his love. Pray together, just two or three of us, please.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus, because of what your Son did all those years ago, that we are meeting together in his name. Very conscious that the Spirit is with us. We just thank you again for the blessing. Thank you that we are in a place where we can be together, as mentioned in the passage you read, without fear that someone's going to come and attack us or in any way. So Lord, we just give you thanks. Thank you above all that you gave your Son to be martyred.
Amen.
Accept that the price that was paid for somebody else.
pray for Doreen this evening. Thank you for the gift that Doreen is to us. We thank you for her faith and her long life. Thank you for her family coming around her right now. Thank you for the support she's received from those within our church. Pray, Lord, that she will have confidence in you through all of this, and that she will quickly receive the medical support that she needs. And in her troubled and fearful moments, we pray, Lord, that she will know comfort, love, and gain peace. In your name, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing now the video song, which you know. It's Oh to See the Dawn, or it's also known as The Power of the Cross. So we can just sing along with the video if you want to. If not, just listen in. To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to
I think Stuart Townend wrote that one, and I was born the same year.
Oh, have we got it in our book?
Oh, James.
I'll look it up. Pardon? No, no. We'll put it in, Barry. I mean, Stuart Townsend read Matthew's Gospel, didn't he? Talking about the quaking and the rising from the dead and so on. He based that on Matthew's Gospel, and much of his lyrics there, if that's the right word, right? That's the right word, isn't it? That is, it actually reflected the comments you yourself made as you read that passage. It's rather lovely. Well, we're coming to our shared meal, which is very appropriate for Maundy Thursday, because Maundy Thursday was the first time it happened like this. It's the replacement, if you like, for the Passover Supper in the Christian faith here. And we're going to do it incredibly simply. First of all, if we could simply say what I think of as the family prayer, but it's also known as the Lord's Prayer. Together. So if I say sins and you say trespasses, forget about it, you know, just carry on, whatever. Okay. Let's pray together and say aloud, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Amen. So I'm just going to read out of 1 Corinthians, forgive me while I'm finding it, what gets called the instruments of communion service. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he'd included this in because it was common now within the church to be having the meal in obedience to Jesus, but the Corinthian church had often wandered away from the spirit of it and actually become rather hedonistic, rather a gorging festival. Rich people have more than poor people. Some people started before others and so on. And he just wanted to call it back into order and say, this is what should be done. So he writes, this is what Jesus told them. So at some point, we know that Paul was taken up into heaven. He knows not whether in the body or in the spirit. He knows that he met Jesus, not just on the Damascus road, but he received revelations from Jesus directly. None of which differed from the Gospels or the understanding the other apostles had gained through their daily walk with Jesus. And it's noticeable by the way he starts, for I received from the Lord direct instruction, but I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink. Give ourselves a moment to do just that and examine ourselves before the Lord. And if there's things we need to quietly, personally, within our heads, tell him. Do so. and now we're going to share the bread together, and what we're going to do is we're going to serve each other. So this is the bread, it's the symbol of Jesus' body broken at the time on Good Friday. And through the breaking of his body, he has included us all to be in the body of Christ. So just pass it to each other if you are able. Say the words something like, "This is the body of Christ, broken for you." If you don't want to take it, just quietly pass it to the next person. Now, this is the body of Christ, broken for you. When God the Father looks at our inner heart, what he sees is pure and clean, because Christ's blood covers our sin. What we're going to do now is pass the cup round, but hang on to it, and we'll drink together. But with something like the words of the blood of Christ. Jesus said, "Drink this in remembrance of me." Hang on to the glass just for a moment. If we could just say what has come to be known as the grace together. We can do this with eyes open if we wish. No requirements. You don't have to break your neck turning around to try and see everybody all at the same time. But it's a family act together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. And we're going to finish by singing a lovely hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, just when you let us. Bless us as we leave tonight and over the next 2 days as we wait for the resurrection day. May God be very close to you.